Welcome to another episode of After the Credits, coming to you from Studio 42. Not quite as sunny as it was earlier. It's a little cloudier now. Not cloudier, it's just a little darker. We saw the sun slowly disappear, which sucks.
Sadly, on these winter days,
it fills me with joy.
Darker earlier.
Fills you with joy. That should not surprise me. But joined today, co-hosts who have already spoken but remain nameless.
Yes. Like Caster the Unspeakable. Oh, sorry. I'm supposed to? Okay, Colleen, Cthulhu Cultist. Moving on.
Dale. Dale 42 on Letterboxd.
Oh my gosh.
We suck at intro.
Yeah.
And here we thought we would be warmed up. And, it would flow much smoother.
You are incorrect.
I know. We won't give away the secrets of production, but let's talk Whistler.
Yay.
Whistler Film Festival kicks off in, according to the countdown on the website, 3 days.
3 days. Which so really about 4 days for us because we never
go up on the Wednesday. It's like the one, they screen one movie.
In the evening, yeah.
And the gala, which nobody I know.
Goes to.
It's a glad-handing thing, and we're not glad-handers.
Pretty much not. Yeah. There is a lot of partying at Whistler. It is a party sort of festival.
Which we won't do.
No, well, not with the stars, no. But we party our own way.
We'll leave that to other glad-handers.
Will there be minus 17 hot pool swimming or hot tubbing?
I hope so.
Because it's supposed to be like a bitterly cold for a couple of days.
Oh, really?
That's awesome. There is a cold snap rolling in for Thursday, Friday.
All I know is I have snowies on the car, real snowies.
Excellent.
The colder the weather is, the better the hot tub and swimming is.
True.
I cannot wait.
It's when you submerge yourself down to your nostrils while wearing a toque.
So who's bringing the Chernobyl this year?
Chernobyl? Oh, if only we could get Chernobyl.
You know, one of these years, I am going to order Chernobyl from somewhere.
Yeah.
So we can have an actual hot tub time machine party. Nice.
Sweet. We need a squirrel, though, don't we?
Is there really? Did somebody actually come out with real Chernobyl?
I'm sure somebody made a can of Chernobyl somewhere.
I think there's a place where you can buy, it's like a prop can.
Yeah.
It's not actually a drink.
That's what I mean.
Yeah. I need to just excuse me for a sec. Keep on talking.
Oh, okay.
And now silence pervades.
Total silence.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yes, I'm looking forward to it. Plus, our place has a sauna, which God knows I love
there's
saunas.
There's a sauna in there?
There's a sauna.
You requested a pool and a hot tub. We booked a place with a pool and a hot tub.
I know. I was looking at everything else. Oh, very nice. Hold on.
Okay, yes, now the camera must come up. Oh, my God. I don't have my camera. Where's your phone? Okay, well, you can't take them off.
Oh, too late.
We'll stage a shot later or something.
Oh, that's man, right. It's not
if
the
I had
same.
Known, I would have brought my my song cock that I got recently.
I don't have my epic beard anymore. It's all short now.
Oh, my God, yeah, I just totally noticed that. Oh, crap. Oh, I'm feeling very sad now.
Dun, dun, dun.
My Viking beard is gone.
Our condo has a sauna room, which saunas rule.
Yeah, and we're inviting all the stars if they want to party with us. We throw the best parties.
Yeah.
Forget the Director's Guild party where there's lots of free booze. We will give you free booze in a pool.
Yeah.
Now,
so, Strombo, if you're listening... You're totally invited.
Is he
to the
up
party.
Gonna be at Whistler?
Yes.
Oh.
So the festival runs December 4th to the December 4th to the 8th, 4 days of epic movies. I actually thought it was 5 days, but whatever. It says 4 days.
Wednesday to Sunday.
Yeah. Wednesday to Sunday. So yeah, that is 4 days. I just, you know. My mind just kind of...
Well, that's
5 days.
That is five, right?
Although, again,
Wednesday's only
useless.
The evening.
Yeah, that's true.
So, four real days.
Four real days. 13th annual. 13 years. I know, I kind of had a... I actually thought it was like 11th annual, and then I looked at the thing, and no, 2010 was the 10th annual. So, we're 13 years in. We've been going for like three or four?
I have three for me, I think.
We were at 2010 for sure then because McDonald, Bruce McDonald, did Hardcore Logo 2 screening there. And that was the 10th anniversary from the first filmy hardcore logo, which you also screened there.
Yeah, so at least 3 years. We've been, I think Dan and I have been going for 4 or 5. I've lost track.
You were the year before.
Yeah, so 4 years.
You went up at least 1 year, if not two, yep, before I started.
So we're
getting jealous. And
we're making good time at Whistler. It's our party time. It's all fun.
Yeah, you know, we talk about all time. It's, you don't have to drive anywhere. Yeah. There's no commute time. You get out of your condo and you walk down the lovely picturesque streets in downtown Whistler.
You get enough people sharing condo together that the cost isn't too much to actually stay up there for a few days.
Yeah, and it's nice. It's a nice vacation.
It's a nice little walkable village. You still have to put up with some of the like fakey expensive retail crap.
Oh yeah, for sure.
You just
other than that, you know, you enjoy all the Australian accents.
Yep, pretty much. Yep. It's good fun.
It is.
It's totally good fun.
Love it.
So this year's festival is opening with the return of Jason Priestley behind the camera. So he's directing, he directed Cass and Dylan, which is a road trip story starring Richard Dreyfuss and Tatiana Maslany, who is doing quite well for herself.
Hot in, like nothing else.
Man. Oh, she's amazingly talented. So she's on Orphan Black for anyone that has missed that on BBC.
I did a bit of a double take when it's because she was in Picture Day, right?
Yep.
Yeah. It's like, what, that actress from Picture Day? Like, I knew she was talented, but
she is super duper talented.
Fantastic things about Orphan Black.
She's amazing. The show is really great, but it works because of her. You know, she plays like 6 different roles. It works because of her. She's super talented. Road trip stories don't really do much for me anyways, but it has the triple threat thing going. I like Jason Priestley. I like Richard Dreyfuss. I love Tatiana Maslany. So I'm going to make an effort to check this one out.
Yeah, that one didn't really trigger any sort of desire to see it. So I'm clear that one.
You're clear. That's clear. More drinking time.
More drinking or possibly not as much juggling the schedule time.
Oh, there you go. That always works. The closing gala this year is the Crash Reel. Lucy Walker's, she's been nominated for like 2 Oscars. Super talented documentarian. And it's her documentary on Kevin Pierce, the snowboarder that had an accident.
Right.
Like 4 weeks before the Vancouver Olympics during a training run. And he hasn't been able to snowboard since professionally. So it's about him and snowboarder Sean White and their rivalry and the accident and just where snowboarding is going. And this movie is going to play like fucking gangbusters at Whistler.
Yeah.
It's going to kill. It's really well done. Hugely enjoyable documentary. I did see it recently. It's amazing. Looks great. And yeah, the Vancouver connection, it's going to totally kill.
I hadn't even considered any of that, but you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Snowboarding culture in Whistler is huge. This movie is going to play really well.
Of all the films that would attract like non-festival goers, this is going to be
this
one
is
going to
be
them.
The one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. This movie.
There's one other one I think might, just based on last year.
Which one is that?
I forget the name of it. It's sex and older couple. Well, I say that because one of like the 3 films that sold out last year was My Awkward Sexual Adventure or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, sex sells.
Yeah.
It wouldn't surprise me if that one doesn't sell out.
Yeah, that's true.
But I hadn't even considered Crash Reel. I think Crash Reel is going to be really big.
Yeah, it's going to kill.
There's 3 films in the Mountain series this year. There was that one and another one that's fairly standardized.
And then the Latvian
skiing in urban centers.
I totally want to see that, and it's only playing once.
Yeah.
And I think it's on the Sunday. Yeah. Which we usually leave on Sunday.
Yeah.
That would be the one that I really wanted to see that, and I just cannot squeeze it in.
Just because the picture of like the guy skiing on basically concrete, it looks like what the hell?
It's totally, totally bizarre. And I think it looks amazing.
Yeah.
It looks really, really promising. So it's too bad that we're not going to be able to check that one out. But I very, very rarely look at the Mountain screening series or whatever it is, because I don't, mountain culture doesn't really do
Yeah, I'm not a big mountain culture. Although last year they had the Brilliant Mountain Runners, Which was like a race to the top of one of the local mountains, someone driving like a Model T. And
it
was just not professional athletes, just loggers that went, yeah, we'll race it. That was brilliant. I love that.
Yeah, so the Latvian one is called, I'm going to massacre this because I do not speak the language, Sklumti.
Okay.
It's S-K-L-M-N-T-I. Sklumti?
Sounds good enough to me.
Sounds good to me. But yeah, it's about Latvian skiers who ski in urban places without snow. It's like, it's the strangest thing ever. It sounds amazing.
It reminds me of the joke of the Saskatchewan downhill ski team. What downhill?
Right.
Zing.
You know, I hate the Whistler website.
Oh.
It has challenges, I will admit.
Yes, it does.
Part of mine was not actually having trailers linked to the individual.
Which Dale was actually commenting on earlier. It made it really difficult to
review the film. Just trying to find a list, like just an alphabetical list of films.
Well, what gets me about the alphabetical list is that you can't cut out the short films.
Yes.
That's huge.
That's like another big annoyance.
Features only button.
I agree.
Yeah.
So, hey, people, if you're listening.
Yeah. That's a huge inconvenience because there's some of them. That's awesome. But you know what? I'm not necessarily willing to sit through 30 short films for one nugget when I could be watching another movie.
So, I mean, of the list, there are a number of world premieres, a lot of Canadian premieres, a lot of Western Canadian premieres. Whistler also always does a really good job of sort of mixing the different premieres. I've always found them to be a genre-heavy festival. This year particularly, it seems even more genre-heavy than usual.
This year has, I think, the highest number of films I'm interested in seeing by just reading the descriptions.
Yeah, so there's
never been this many before.
Yeah, and for me, I love their midnight track. I always like going to the movies that they screen. Before we start talking about the movies, can we talk about the fact this year that they are not using the conference center for movies?
I was...
At all?
At
that
all.
That is so awesome.
Just for talks.
Okay. Just the galas talks. Must be, though.
Maybe the galas. Yeah. I didn't see... None of the movies I'm seeing are in the conference
center. I couldn't remember what it was called on the schedule, so I wasn't sure. But that is conference center. Great news.
Well, I think that one of the reasons why it's not being used is they were working on the Rainbow Theater, which I think is the one that's right underneath the conference center, which was going to be specifically for, it's kind of like the Vancouver Film Center.
Yeah.
So it was going to be the Whistler Film Center kind of thing.
The official hub.
The official hub. And I think it's finished now.
Cool.
Because when we were there last year, they were still doing like renovations on it. So it wasn't quite complete.
Oh, okay.
And this year it's totally finished.
Because there is a theater kind of under the conference center last year.
Yeah, that's the one, the Rainbow Theater.
Well, that was open last year.
Yeah, it was open, but it wasn't complete.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I think that they
Didn't utilize it quite as much as
And I think that they had borrowed some seats. If I'm not mistaken, there was a traveling... The Sundance Society has seats that they lend out to festivals that need seating.
Huh.
And I think that they had borrowed some seats from Sundance. And I think this year the theater is finally ready to open because they're using it a lot more than they were last year.
Okay.
Pretty much every Canadian film is playing at the Rainbow Theater.
Cool. It doesn't have the seating capacity that the conference center has. But
thank God for that, because fuck, the conference center
was
terrible.
Oh, no, I mean, it really was terrible. Like, those chairs were killing my butt. And if you sat in the wrong place, you couldn't see the screen.
And I think that was pretty much out of, like, when they do the year wrap things, I'm fairly certain that was probably the only complaint people had about the festival is the conference center sucks. I don't know anybody that said anything good about watching movies at the conference center ever.
And quite honestly, they've even split the conference center generally into two theaters.
Which they did last year, which was even worse.
Well, they did that a couple years in a row. But the only time it opened fully was since I've been going was for Bruce McDonald's Hardcore Logo too.
Yeah, usually it's just for the big, big galas.
Yeah.
So, I mean, even if they do the galas at the conference center, I don't care because I don't go there.
Yeah.
Let's be completely selfish here. Let's be totally selfish.
Hardcore Logo too because I wanted to see it, and the single worst thing about it was
the crowd.
The crowd. Yeah. Yeah. It just sucked. They, not as badly as the crowd for the film out there, but that is a completely different scenario.
We had our little talk about that last year.
Yeah.
Yes.
The past is the past.
Goodbye. Yeah. Okay, so titles we're excited about. I'm assuming you're going to be lining up for The Husband, Bruce McDonald's new movie.
Oh, really?
Again, thank you, Whistler, for making it difficult to find out stuff. The Husband?
The story premise was kind of interesting, but I
didn't dwell into like drama section because usually I'm not overly fond
of
it.
And this one's heavy on the drama section.
Okay, so that's probably why I missed that
one.
Yeah,
why you missed it.
Like the genre ones, Odd Thomas.
Yep.
Is amazing.
Normal guy turned monster hunter. How is this not... like got my name like sort of chiseled in stone on it?
It's not the greatest movie ever, but Anton Yelchin is amazing in
it.
And it's fun. It's good fun.
I like that dude.
It's on the midnight track, right?
There's a couple of different screening times. I think it screens twice for public. And it's one of them is a midnight screening and the other one is earlier in the afternoon. It's awesome.
On my list?
I'm going to try to see it again. I really liked it.
Another one, The Station.
Yes.
When will people understand you shouldn't be digging in glaciers for ancient beings?
I know, right? You figure we've seen enough movies where shit goes wrong when you do that.
1930, Mountains of Madness, Lovecraft teaches us.
Yeah, I know, right?
Freaking dig up some Chagas. Like, what the hell?
But that looks really great.
Yes, very much so.
Actually, sort of kind of in keeping with ice and digging shit up that you shouldn't be. Ice Soldiers.
Yeah.
Stella Gunnarsson's new movie about, you know, Russian soldiers that were created during the Cold War and buried in ice. And of course, we find them and we thaw them out. Like,
oh, so the movie I was trying to think of is called Sex After Kids. Oh,
okay.
But it's playing in the same time slot as Ice Soldiers. So I'm going to go see Ice Soldiers.
Yeah. Ice Soldiers, hands down, wins it. Michael Ironside is in there. It's going to be great. Oh, Dominic Purcell is the star, the guy from Prison Break. More people probably know him from that, though he's been in a few other things. But yeah, so, you know, Russian genetically mutated soldiers, and of course the Canadians go and thaw them out. Where is this a great idea, honestly?
I kind of feel the need to see Dark Blood. River Phoenix, who died like in what, the early 90s?
The year that this film was being produced, 92, I think.
Yeah.
92 or 93, something like
that. Finally being released.
God, the description like is all about the backstory of the film. It didn't tell you anything about the film.
So Dark Blood, River Phoenix stars as a young widower who lives as a hermit out in the Nevada desert.
Arizona desert.
He lives in the Nevada desert. He lives out in the desert. His wife died from fallout from nuclear testing. So there's this sort of backstory about nuclear testing in the area. And this couple, Hollywood types, are on a vacation and they're driving through the desert to try to sort of, you know, find themselves or something. And their car breaks down.
Yeah.
And they sort of stumble into this guy whose name is Boy. And stuff happens.
Yeah.
It's not great.
It isn't.
No, not really. It's very 1990s. You know how some movies, they're from a period, but they're kind of timeless?
Mm-hmm.
This one is from 1990s, and it feels like it's from the 90s. The acting is a little over the top. It's not... like, actually, one of the interesting things is the way that they've managed to complete the movie, even with some key scenes missing. Like, the way that they sort of bridge the gaps is really interesting. And River Phoenix is quite good.
Well, maybe I'll put it as an extra if there's anything else to see in its place.
Yeah,
but I mean, seeing it just as the whole River Phoenix 20 years later.
And quite honestly, he is the most interesting thing. He's very, very captivating.
Cool.
But that just speaks to the power of River Phoenix. He was just really, really good.
I have like a twofer.
Twofer.
I want to see Caligula on the big screen. I've seen it on the small screen. It's horrible.
Oh, no. You could not pay me. I didn't even look at it. I'm like, fuck no.
Yeah, it's a pass for me.
No, thanks. I can see that shit at home.
I remember laughing my ass off when I saw it.
I would actually love to get like an insider view from if you do go to the screening, just like what the crowds are like.
Oh, totally.
Like, I would want to know just to see, like, do people drink before they see Caligula? There's like sex breakout in the audience. Like, I need to know.
It, you know, and honestly, if sex is breaking out in the audience while watching this, I'm leaving. That's my line in the sand. Like, you know, having people take flash photography. Feet is one thing. Having actual physical sex in front of me, I just don't need to see that. If the stars align, I'm watching it. And then I want to see Filthy Gorgeous, the Penthouse founder documentary, who basically made that film.
You know what? I rearranged my entire schedule to fit that movie in. Nice. Because I had to see it. Huh. Like, it sounds too good not to watch.
I was really curious about that one, but I wasn't sure whether I wanted to go see it.
I'm actually skipping something that I probably should be seeing to go see this.
I'm not usually a big documentary person, but that just looks fascinating.
Well, yeah, I didn't realize that he had, like, co-founded Ani magazine and donated a bunch of money to research. I'm like, wow.
He's an interesting juxtaposition towards like Hefner, which is the contemporary that you would think of. Yeah. Completely different people in the same industry.
So yeah, I'm super curious to check that out. But yeah, I rearranged my entire schedule because it only fit into one little slot. And I'm like, fuck it, I'm not watching this. I want you to watch this instead. any other? Dale, do you have a list of stuff that you're looking forward to?
My one, you know, I'm not usually attracted to dramas, but I'm still not sure I'm going to see it. But Best Man Down has me very intrigued.
Yeah. Yeah, Justin Long and the dude from Reaper.
Yeah.
What is his name?
He doesn't Tyler have a name. Levine. He's the dude from Reaper.
Tyler Levine.
For all time, he will be the dude from Reaper.
And I almost couldn't believe it when I saw it. And I'm a Brett Butt fan, so no clue.
Yeah. Brett Butt pretending to be a detective?
A detective, yeah.
Why do I have flashes in my head of Leslie Nielsen?
Because it could be on that level of awesome.
Honestly, Brett Butt, if he does things correctly, he could literally have the rest of his life a career of being a supporting actor.
This
zany
film, I think there will be no middle ground on this film.
You're either going to love it or you're going to hate it.
Well, I'm not sure. It's either going to be really, really lame, or it's going to be a home run. Like, he just tends to, like, he's either on and it's awesome, you know, like Corner Grass just hit that right. Because the one he did afterwards with his wife, Nancy Robertson.
Yeah, that show was not very good.
I can't even remember the name of it.
Hiccups,
yeah.
It was not good.
Hiccups
was horrible.
It was horrible.
Was it Dan Vermeer or something like that?
From the
old. Wasn't
the
as bad, but.
Yeah, it had some moments.
I don't
that
think
were
he was.
Okay,
was he involved with that one?
I think he was involved with the writing, I want to say.
But, yeah, I think so. There was some connection other than just alumni from, but not active.
But I'm going to give this one a try. I just can't resist.
Directed by Carl Bassai.
And Bassai, that was. Yes, thank you. That blew me away.
Shut the front door.
It's true.
I could not believe it when I read that.
I know, right?
That weird. That was really the clincher.
I don't
not that
think
I'm a Bassai fan.
Bassai as comedies.
Neither do I, but there you go.
Bassai and
Butt.
So yes,
you can tell I'm going to be seeing this.
Yeah.
A little reluctantly, I must admit, but I will be seeing it.
And maybe you'll get to sit like right behind Carl Bassai.
You could write a review and you could literally say, Bassai's Butt is...
Nice.
I'm fairly certain I've gotten over the hump of having like the fangirl crush on Carl Bassai.
Good for you.
I know. I'm slowly getting better. What else you got on your list? I see some
you guys
stuff.
Talked about the other stuff, you know, like the Odd Thomas and I Soldiers. And the other one we haven't mentioned is Finding Mr. Right, which is an Asian film.
Yes, with the Canadian connection.
Yeah,
Vancouver connection. Yeah, that sounds really interesting.
It does, and it apparently made big box office in China. So
So it's about a woman who's like the what's the word?
Let me find a description.
Not a concubine. What's the other word?
Courtesan?
Mistress.
Thank you. She's the mistress to a rich guy. He sends her to Vancouver to have the baby. Yeah. And she meets other women here that are either in a similar situation or I can't really figure out how that sort of works. But I don't know. It looks, I thought it looked, sounded like it could be really interesting. It looked
very intriguing, yeah.
I have two filler movies, like in case there's a spot. The Louis Sarr. C-Y-R?
Sear, oh, yeah, the French-Canadian period piece.
Yeah, the strong man.
Did you see how long it is?
How long?
I had it on my calendar until I saw how long it is. Ooh. It's like 2.5 hours long.
Well, depends if it fits.
I couldn't fit it in. I really wanted to.
Like I say, this would be a filler thing. Like this is like the second list kind of thing. And the other one, you know me, I'm a sucker for period pieces. The other one is Cinco de Mayo, May 1862.
The Mexican Revolution.
Yeah,
yeah, that sounded, that looked really interesting as well. It was also on my secondary list, and I just, it doesn't fit.
Yeah,
sadly, this is the thing about Whistler. I will never get over the fact that there were so many fucking movies in 5 days that I cannot squeeze in even half of them.
You know what? That's probably also charm too.
Yes,
because you have to pick.
Yeah,
yeah. Like if they had,
I really don't want to though.
If they had 10 films and they showed each one 7 times.
No.
You would have to see everything.
And it's true.
For a complete,
I would want to.
A completionist point of view, that is probably good, but from a choice point of view, not so much.
Let's remember to talk to Bill about how many movies he saw, because I think he's planning on seeing everything.
Everything.
And he can do it.
Bill's a trooper.
He bought a Preston Industry Pass, and I wouldn't put it past him to skip having a good time just to watch movies.
Oh, well, that's Vancouver Film Fest.
Yeah.
Let's go over 130 films again in 4 weeks.
And I'm seriously thinking about skipping some stuff on Saturday night, so I can hang out by the pool, man.
Hang out at the pool? Hey, we haven't discussed this. Who's bringing Cards Against Humanity? You or me?
We can rock, paper, scissors, lizard, Spock for it.
I'm traditionalist. No lizard or Spock.
Okay, I can go with that. A couple of other things to mention. You know, I mentioned Strombo was in town. He's going to be doing the In Conversation with Jason Priestley.
Oh, that's excellent.
So they're doing a talk on December the 7th at 8 o'clock.
The dude I don't like is... Yay!
The dude I don't like is...
Oh, the interviewer from...
Last year and the year before. I have my problems with him. I know you didn't, but I did.
I don't actually know who that is.
I don't know his name. And it's just... I don't want to slag him, but it's just...
His delivery.
He asked,
the Variety guy?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He's doing the, I think he's doing the Richard Dreyfuss thing.
Oh, is Dreyfuss getting an award?
Dreyfuss is getting an award, one of the Spotlight Awards, I believe. They're doing a tribute to Richard Dreyfuss on December the 6th.
He's still doing that.
There's a Spotlight on three women in film, Melissa Leo, Oscar-winning Melissa Leo, for the record, Ali Liebert and Emily Hampshire. They're doing a panel together. I can't remember exactly what they're calling it. But
is that open?
Yeah, it's $25 for the ticket or something.
Oh,
it's okay. December 5th at 8 o'clock. And they always try to squeeze in whoever happens to be filming in town. So last year it was the Harry Potter guy, Daniel Radcliffe. This year it's Melissa Leo. Because apparently she's in town filming a TV show for M. Night Shyamhammer.
Shyamhammer?
Yeah, for the Shyamhammer. Val and I were talking about this the other day.
Shyamalamending.
I guess my goal is to look for Melissa Leo looking for a cigarette, because apparently she asks everybody for a cigarette. So I'm going to be like hanging out in odd places, smoking, seeing if I can bump into Melissa Leo, because she is fucking awesome. The Jason Priestley thing, and probably the one thing I'm going to really try to squeeze in, because I had a really great time at it last year, is Variety's Top 10 Screenwriters to Watch Award. They bring up a couple of the screenwriters that are on that list. I didn't actually look to see who was on the list this year, but I had a really great time at that talk last year. So they're doing that again this year, December the 7th at 4 o'clock. I think that's the Saturday. Friday or Saturday, I can't remember. But I found that really, really interesting. Not just because I'm into screenwriting, because I'm really not.
If
but.
My pass covers it, I will be. Those tend to be earlier in the morning, too, before the movies really kick
off. It's at 4. So. This one is
December, at 4?
Yeah, okay. December 7th at 4 o'clock. So.
Hmm.
That's it. I don't have anything else to add.
I don't think my pass covers that.
Going to have to
that.
Try and hit Zogs at least once.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, and what else? I'll line up at the liquor store at least once. That seems a tradition.
Yep.
Fat Bear Pizza, possibly.
Yep.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
I noticed
Creatures of Habit.
One of the screenings is in Buffalo Bills. which is a pub.
Oh, yeah. They did that last year as well. One of the shorts collections, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they did. I don't know
if that might be a good spot for shorts.
Yeah, they did that last year with one of the screenings. I don't know if it was at Buffalo Bills, but I know that they did a screening at a local, like, sort of pub-ish thing. Okay. Yeah, so, you know, you could go and have a couple of drinks and watch a reel of short
good
films.
Idea.
Yeah, I think it's really great. That's one of the things that's so great about Whistler is they play to their audience.
Yeah.
People like to drink.
Especially with something like a shorts, too, yeah. Because you don't necessarily, you're not riveted for 2 hours. Like, there's...
I mean, it's not the ideal place to go and watch movies for the first time, but, I mean, you know, if you're having a drink with somebody and something good comes on...
The thing with shorts, you have, like, 15 pieces playing anywhere from, like, 3 minutes to 10 minutes. You know, if something's not working for you kind of thing, it's like, you know, you can...
Tough
go to
out.
The bathroom, grab another beer at the bar, come back. Like, I think it's a great environment for a shorts program.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I think, well, and it's really just, it's fun to do something different like that, yeah. For sure. So yeah, if I could make two recommendations for anybody that's going that hasn't and needs some recommendations, The Crash Reel, which is great, and Odd Thomas, which is awesome.
Odd Thomas.
And it'll open next year, I think February or something is what they're talking about, but... It's good, good fun. Anything else to add? Or are we okay for a couple of days until we get together and talk some...
I think we're good.
Talk from the slope. Talk from slope side.
Slope sides? Possibly. We're not really on the slope side.
No, it's, you know.
You know, the first year we went up there, we were definitely slope side.
Yes,
we were. Hike up the mountain, which was awesome.
Never again.
Oh, really? I loved that.
It was a nice location, but it was just a little bit far from everything. Yeah.
See, I loved it. Like hiking up the mountain, especially the one time I was sick. I was going back early, and the snow blowing machines had been moved over to exactly where I had to walk through. So I had to walk through a blizzard while feeling nauseous up a ski mountain to go to the chateau. It was freaking brilliant.
I actually need to figure out where the Squamish Cultural Center is because I have a movie that I've kind of put in there.
It's the one that is sort of off. It's a bit of a walk.
It's in the Upper Village, is it not?
I believe so.
Yeah, I may scratch off the movie just because it's too hard to get to.
It was the one that wasn't like the easy sort of village stroll.
Yeah, and the movie is only playing at that one location, which really sucks.
Well, it's in conjunction with the local Indian band kind of thing. So. Yeah,
it's the new Peter Stebbings movie, actually. He did Defendor, for anybody that might kind of recognize the name. So I'm really, really curious to check that out. Hopefully I'll have a chance to. We'll be back probably because this is going to go up today, give people a little leeway to sort of prepare for the festival. We may check in maybe on Thursday or Friday with a quick update after a couple of drinks. You never know. Stuff will happen. We'll have at least one podcast from the festival. We always do. Mm-hmm. Stay tuned for more from Whistler.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, 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 dun.
Until next time.
We'll see you after the credits.